Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Strategies of Success. It is marathon weekend. Yeah, that first Sunday of November when 50,000 people flock to New York City to go run the New York City Marathon. And it is an exciting event. Been there three times, all three times for different reasons. And that is some of what we're going to talk about here and how that actually filters in with what we do from a business standpoint. You know, some of those runs I did were, well, all of them were planned. You had to train for it, but each one of them were done for a different reason. And I'd venture to say that you went into a business. Your goals, your focus in life is done for different reasons. And sometimes it's personal. Sometimes it's just because things fell into place for you. Other times it's to get over something. And basically, that was the three runs that I did. You know, all fell into those different categories. And the first time I ran it, I was looking to lose a couple of pounds. I had quit smoking, put on a chunk of weight, and I was like, all right, now what do we do? So I was looking to fix a problem is really what that, where that one really came down to. And what happened out of the whole thing was just absolutely amazing. I went down the year prior to go and see what was taking place over there. I was working downtown Manhattan at the time. And what I saw was not the people running that were running quickly, not the first wave of people that were doing this thing like this 5.5 minute pace and stuff like that. That is wild. And they are runners. And they are doing that from a professional level, so it's different. It was the folks at the end of the pack that were taking 6, 7, 8, 9 hours. The ones that you read about in the paper the day after, that they were still going while it was dark outside. They were just cruising along, doing what they had to do in order to achieve their goal. And I was so amazed by that. And I realized that they could do that, and they had the reason to do it. Certainly could take a look at myself and do it myself. Now, I was never a runner, didn't do it in high school, didn't do anything like that. So it was a total different aspect to me to take on that kind of a challenge. No real background with it. So I joined one of the clubs in the city, the New York Roadrunners Club, to get some experience in running, and I did it. It took me a while. Make no bones about it. It took me a while. Ironically, it was the fastest pace of the three times that I did do it. You know, but I went. So, you know, there certainly is different things that you can learn from that as it pertains to your business or anybody's business. You know, that sometimes you just got to get a little bit of information, understand what your goal is, understand what you need to do, and understand that it might not turn out exactly the way you wanted. And that marathon definitely did not turn out the way I had expected. It did turn out the way I wanted. I wanted to finish, and that was really the big thing. I wanted to get to that finish line no matter what. I did it running, and it was kind of amazing. Fred LeBeau was around on that one, and he was the founder of the New York Roadrunners Club and the marathon, certainly the way we see it today, starting at Staten Island, going the way forward. But we had raised money for cancer research at that point. Fred had cancer, and it was just before the finish line. I visualize it right now. About 100 yards prior to the finish line, there's a slight uphill as you come to the grandstands, right in the middle of Central Park by Tavern on the Green. And it was Fred LeBeau, right in the middle. He was shaking everybody's hands as much as possible because there was, you know, quite a few of us going through. I had the opportunity to reach out, you know, and to shake his hand. It, you know, it was quite an honor, you know, and that was probably one of the highlights of running that thing. Accomplishing it, yes, but that was it, you know, and I saw in his eyes how important that marathon was to him, to raising money, to doing the whole thing. That's what I realized afterwards, you know, that it is so important when you're going after your goal to have that passion behind you in order to achieve it. You know, my goal thing the first time was to take on a new habit. You know, they gave cigarette smoking. I started eating too much and did that. But, you know, it was that passion that I saw in his eye that you need to have in your eye when you're out there trying to achieve a goal, going after that business, because you're going to run into hurdles, just like, you know, we all did that day or days prior or months prior or year prior when it came to training for it. I really had changed a lifestyle when you try to prepare for something like that. And, you know, he's getting up every morning in order to train, to run, to get out there. And it didn't matter if it was raining or snowing or cold or hot or whatever it was. It still had to happen. I still had to clock in those miles because I didn't know what I needed to do, not needed to do. So I was following the guidance of the New York Roadrunners Club trainers, you know, at the time doing it. Now, looking back on it, I probably should have done that for the next couple of them too, because I didn't. And, you know, it's a slightly different pace that I ran. Again, it was a little bit slower. You know, but I was doing that, and I knew that being determined was probably more important than physical ability or anything else, and glad, you know, that I followed that. We joined the gym, stuff like that. So the point is that when you're taking on a new challenge, get that information from different sources, whomever it might be. It might be somebody that you're competing against. It might be somebody that is a partner of yours, family member, coach, stuff like that. I know we brought that up at different times, but get that, because that is going to give you the confidence to continue on, you know, as you run into different snags along the way, because you need that confidence to get you through those hurdles. The hurdle that I had to deal with on that one, which was another learning experience, was somewhere, it was going over the Willis Avenue Bridge, I believe, that was going out of Manhattan. Well, I had a fire truck that was there. It was kindly spraying it down because it was a little warm that day. So that was great. But I didn't know, found out afterwards, that running with wet shoes was definitely not the right thing to do. So to now on, no matter what, you know, if I could avoid water at any cost, you know, I do, because that added, I'm sure, some amount of weight, which felt like a ton as you were going. But that was a learning experience. So learning along the way as you go is fine. And learning from those mistakes each and every time is fine. Understanding that you do need to learn from those different things is important no matter what you are going to do, whether it be a personal challenge, business challenge, or anything. And the other thing that I really took away from that first one, and this is probably more than anything else, is that people want to see you succeed, and it's incredible in the way that you do it. And you don't even know. You don't have to know the people, but people generally want to see you succeed. Little caveat with that, don't want to see you fail. And there's a big difference there between wanting to succeed and not wanting to see you fail, because you might have someone that's a little overprotective of you. Oh, you don't really want to do that because it may not work out the way you had planned. You might fail. You might not be able to achieve that goal. That needs to be taken into consideration, yes, but that should not stop you from doing something that's calculated, from doing something that you plan on doing it. And understand what your risks are. Understand that you need to be able to absorb whatever that quote-unquote loss might be, that failure might be, because you don't want it to be something that'll set you back forever. But sometimes you do got to go out there and take that chance and make it work. And people will come to you and they will support you even if they don't know you, because we're all about, man, it'd be nice if that's what all of us are all about. But that is what the vast majority of people are all about. They want to see you succeed. It happened to me. I was at mile 19 or something like that. I was just getting out of Harlem. I was still in Harlem at the time, just coming out, and it was the last water stop there. And I'm telling you, those wet sneakers weighed a ton, an absolute ton. And I'm running through, and I was in tears at this time, man, because it just hurt so much. But as I continued on, someone at that water stop said, "Hey, Brian," and there's a friend's suggestion to wear a shirt that said with my name on there. So if you're ever going to do anything, wear your name. Someone may yell at your name exactly when you might need it. But they yelled at my name, "Brian, you could do it." I was like, yeah. I'm hoping that they were talking to me. I believe that they were talking to me. And I understood at that moment that they were talking to me. And I kept going, man. I kept rocking on. And let me tell you, it carried me the rest of the way. Getting into Central Park was an unbelievable experience. Coming up, meeting Fred LeBeau, doing the whole thing, and understanding that I did it with amazing, number one, if you're going to go out and do something for the first time, get what experience you possibly can from others. You're not going to have it. It's not going to be a resume item that you have. It's not going to be something necessarily that you've done before. But there are people out there that want to see you succeed. So join a club that's doing something similar to what it is that you're doing from a business standpoint. If you're an entrepreneur, join an entrepreneur's club. They're all there. They want to see you help. They want to see you succeed. They want to help you out. If it's any kind of a professional service, join the society of whatever that professional service is. Understand. Talk to people. Talk to people that have succeeded. And they will want to help you out. You know, they will not be there to give you bad information. You know, and I'll give you, there's probably somebody out there, but for the most part, there isn't. They want to see you succeed. You know, so go out there, find that organization, join everything that you possibly can to give you the information you need in order to start your business. You know, the second time I ran the thing was a little bit different, because now at this point, it was the second year that I was 91, it was the first time, 92 was the second time that I ran it. And the reason why I did that was because I wanted to prove to myself that I actually did it. As silly as that may sound, but I wanted to show myself, nobody else, you know, that, hey, it wasn't just adrenaline that carried me through that first day. Boy, oh boy, it certainly did. It was an adrenaline-filled day. My joke on that one, too, is that I slapped the hand of everybody as I went through the 26.2 miles. Let's not forget that one. And then by the time I got done, the thing that hurt the most was my hand. Not exactly true, but darn it, you know what? It brought back memories of the stuff that really, truly mattered to me. Like that second time, you know, the second time was a little bit dumb. I wanted to show me that I was able to accomplish that marathon. And this one, funny is that I took it a bit more serious because I understood I'd been through some of the things that were going to be a challenge to me that was, you know, that I knew. So I trained and I ran and I did everything that I was supposed to do. And I ran the marathon, that went at 4:40. So it actually took me a little bit longer than the first time. So why, right? You know, think about it. Why did it take me a little bit longer to do? And the answer to that is that I didn't care as much. And that was probably the wrong attitude with the whole thing. See, I ran it because I was proving to myself that I could complete that 26.2 miles. I didn't really have the passion behind me on the whole thing. Didn't call all the friends and say, hey, look what I'm doing. I didn't go to, you know, the runner's club. I didn't train like that. Actually lived further away. I was out on Long Island, you know, not living in the city area, you know, at the time. So that the excitement of the event wasn't really there either. So it was different. It was quite a bit different. I ran it fine, but without that passion, it wasn't the same. It definitely wasn't the same. I didn't take the camera with me. I didn't take anybody emotionally along with me. Didn't raise money. And it's like, So I suffered. Bringing that out to the business side of it, if you're running your business just because you need a business, just because you need income, just because, and there's no real desire to either own that business, to create a legacy for the next generation, to really service your clients, to really work for your employees. And that's right, you work for your employees. It's not the other way around. And you're creating a lifestyle for your employees. You want to see them succeed and grow. Because when they do that, they're going to pull you along. They're going to make your business, your practice, your service even better than what you could even imagine, because you can only imagine what you can imagine. And I didn't have any of that with me on that second run. And I did it. I completed it, you know, and it was all well and good, you know, so that was fine. But your business can't be like that. And you're just, your business is going to be completed. You'll do it. You'll end the week. Everything will be well and fine. You'll make a living. Everybody will be employed, blah, blah, blah. So what do you think is going to happen with your employees if you come into work with that kind of an attitude? I guess if you come into work, that's a bad attitude too. You're not going to work. You're going to accomplish goals. You're going to service people. You are going to do your mission. Clearer you are on that one, the more that's going to permeate right through to your employees. And not only that, it's going to be clearer to you when you hire people. It's going to be very clear to them who you are, and it's going to be very clear to you what personality, what kind of a person that you are looking to hire. Do you need someone who is outgoing? Do you need someone who is talkative? Do you need someone who is not, who is a very good listener? And during that interview process, it's very easy to see if somebody is a good listener or if they have those prepared comments coming through. And I have worked with people preparing for an interview, and you know that there's a couple of questions that you're going to get. But you also know that they may be asking you some different questions. You got to listen. You have to listen when you're on an interview to what is being asked of you. And you, whose business it is, who's bringing in a partner, who's hiring an employee, who is looking to work with somebody new, another supplier, whatever it is, if they're not listening to you at that moment, then when will they listen to you? When you give them an order? No, they're just going to sign that contract. They're just going to, I just thought of something there. So they're just going to sign that contract to, hey, I made a few dollars and be on their way. That's not who you want. That is not who you want to be. You want to be working with people that can listen to your needs and that want to listen to your desires and that believe in your desires, believe in whatever it is. You've got to have that. They have to have that emotional attachment to you, the owner, the customer, the employer, et cetera. You know, I was talking to Vince Lancelli yesterday, who runs a business, a speaking coach called Speak Freely. You know, we were talking about that listening skill. And it's like, and it's great. He gave a great example of that and how important it is to put the pen down, sit back and listen to what the other person is saying and to have that emotional connection with that person, to understand that their goals are just as important and are just as important as yours. And sometimes they might even be more important than yours, because if you can, not only will you be able to help them better, but you might be able to justify walking away from that person. And sometimes you do need to do that. I mean, I've had instances in the past where I should have walked away from a business relationship with someone because it wasn't a good fit. The amount of work and effort that went into it was way too much. Not because they were demanding client, it's because they were demanding things that were just off from where I wanted to focus on. So it took me out of where I wanted to be. So it just wasn't the right fit. There would have been, and there are, other people where it would be a better fit. And there's countless examples of that. And if you think about it, you know who you work with, what clients you have that are not exactly the typical or the perfect client for you. So understand what that is and where you're going to go with that. And in this case with, you know, the marathon, you know, for me, it just wasn't, it was what I needed to do from a, man, I ran it the first time, could I really do this again kind of a thing. At the time, that was what I needed, but it wasn't really there for me, you know, with that emotional thing. Your business needs to be that, and you need to be connected with it regardless of what it is that you do. It needs to be there. Now, that final time, so remember, the first time I did it because I had a personal need to lose weight and stuff like that, and it would have been like a phenomenal goal for me to achieve from a confidence standpoint, from a change my lifestyle, needed to do something drastic. And, you know, that was drastic, you know, for me at the time. It's kind of a big thing no matter what. The second time was to justify that first go round. And then the third time was quite a bit later. And the third time was quite a bit different. Phenomenal. I loved it. And I brought everybody along with me. And I'll give you the business analogy right now. Is that the more people you can bring along in your business, the more people you can have a positive impact with, the more open you are about what it is that you're doing, the more you share, the more they share, the more everybody cares, the better the whole darn experience would absolutely be. The scenario on this one turned out to be that it had nothing to do with me, very little. Now, I was it was 91, 92, the first two times I ran, 90, it wasn't 90 anything. It was 2013 was the next time that I ran that thing, 2013. And then that became quite a bit of a different kind of run. So I went from being 30 years old or so to now being 54 when I ran that thing, 54. So the scenario was, oh, and Margaret Marsh, you're going to love this one. Well, maybe not, but I had to lose weight again. But I wasn't running a marathon to lose the weight. I started a whole new aspect of the way that I was approaching food. Margaret Marshall, you were always in my mind. You know, when I opened that refrigerator and the whole thing. And I was also working with Tom Fabric. Tom's a story in and of himself, too. Margaret's been phenomenal when it comes to the why weight theory, and she's been coaching people on TV shows, doing phenomenal stuff. Proud to say member of the Long Island Speakers Bureau. It's always been fun, itself, by the way. Tom Fabry is also. See, Tom was taking the approach with the whole thing about it has to be a part of, not a part of your lifestyle. Eating properly, exercising on a given day had to be your lifestyle. He does it in a manner that's appropriate to him. And his listening skills were really good for me because he was able to listen to what I needed and I could realistically do and was realistically comfortable with. So at the beginning of that year, I had dropped 25 pounds. We went and climbed Mount Washington, big one, and I thought that was going to be the big event for the year. But due to a set of circumstances, wound up having an opportunity to run the New York City Marathon. So we wound up on the opposite side of the mountain on the way down because we had to take the train down, scenario along with that one. But we had to tram down on the opposite side. We did. These two women drove us back to our car, went and take a penny, said, hey, here's what you got to do. Pay it forward. Man, so I did. And when I got back to my computer, I had an invitation from the Blue Card, and that is for a fundraising company, organization, raising money for destitute Holocaust survivors. How could I say no? I had two church women tell me that, hey, I should pay it forward instead of giving them anything. And then, you know, sitting there getting that kind of a notice the day that I opened up that email, I had to do it. So, again, we raised money for the marathon dollars. I was emotionally connected with the whole thing. I was feeling really good about myself and everything. And then I shared it. I kind of shared it. And I took that whole thing of sharing it, you know, to an extreme. And this is where it really became beneficial to me and to everybody else. Because not only did I share it because I was raising money, I also brought along the camera when I was running the marathon, sent the photos. My sister, Elise Cohen-Ho, was kind enough to post them up on Facebook so that everybody followed me along that way. Also did this podcast during the marathon, It was like mile 23 or something like that. I was listening to it. I must have said for like 20 minutes that I got 3 miles to go. I had it was closer to 5 miles to go when I was on there, but no, I did the show from there. It was so much fun. Fun. And that's the key word here. It was so much fun bringing everybody along on this thing that time didn't make a difference. The weather didn't make a difference, although it was nice, really windy in the beginning. Nothing really mattered other than the enjoyment of the whole thing. And that's really what I want to leave you with today. You know, the enjoyment of it, different reasons. We are starting a business because we have a personal goal. And sometimes we just don't know what we're going to need. We don't know what we don't know. And if anybody tells you that they're going to start a project and they know everything, they're wrong. They're just flat out wrong. You can research everything until you're blue in the face. But there are things along the way that are going to change that you just have no idea. Running a marathon, I got my feet wet. Who knew? I had to deal with that. The folks that are showing up for the marathon, the New York City Marathon 2016 tomorrow, are looking at the weather in a much different way than you and I are. And they're going to run into stuff that they did not expect. See, today the weather is great. I think tomorrow the weather is also supposed to be fine too. But if you start the race at 9:30 versus at 11:30, it's a different thing. You have to spend a couple of hours waiting around. If it's their first time, are they going to know exactly what to expect? Not really. They're not going to know how cold it is, how warm it is, whether or not they're going to, you know, have some food to eat, how much food to eat, all of that stuff kind of changes around. Because even as much as they've prepared and they've done their long runs, we'll do a 17 to 20-mile run as training runs, a couple of them as training runs, many of them probably are not going to do that distance until tomorrow. So not only are they going to be running that distance, they're going to have water along the way. That's something new. They're going to have people with them all the way through. 50,000 people are going to be running with them. Are they going to be able to keep the pace that they expect? Not in the beginning, because they're going to run over the Verrazano Bridge. If you're a New Yorker or any place, man, there is nothing like traffic. Well, they do it in waves, but like 10 or 15,000 people at a clip going over the Verrazano Bridge. They broke it up into waves, so it's a little different. The first time I ran it, it was like you were almost walking, you know, the first couple of miles over the bridge. So it threw everything out of whack. But there are things that are going to happen to them tomorrow. They're going to throw their pace out of whack. They're going to maybe experiment with different foods they can eat along the way. They're going to see friends that are going to stop them. I mean, it could be any one of a million or one different things. So you need to be prepared for these changes as they come up. You can never really truly prepare for things. You do need to have that emotional connection. That's what I lost on that second one, didn't have that emotional connection. The last one I did, you know, I was having a ball. And I really think that that really was the key to the whole thing, bringing everybody along, having a good time. This is succeed over 26.2 years, not just running for 26.2 miles, but to succeed for generations, for decades. You know what? You have to be having a good time. Because when you enjoy that entire process, and I'm going to give it to Steve Rizzo on this one, finding the humor in different things. Hey, you know something? You kind of laugh at things as you're going along. If you're really good, you can do that. But you got to understand, even the day after when you go back to self-effacing humor, there's a big thing with that. Because that shows that you can really take a look at things and learn from them and understand that nothing really truly is a failure if you get back up again and keep on going and learn from those experiences. And that's it. I mean, that is without a doubt the most important thing of them all, is to get yourself in a situation, in a business that you, one, really have an emotional connection to, two, that you want to share with people, and three, you're having a good time doing it. Absolutely happen. It should happen with any business. We all want to see other people succeed, and other people want to see us succeed. And why is that? Well, because we want to, selfishly, we want to be brought along with people. We want to be having a fun time ourselves. We want to be enjoying life. And does anybody want to be with somebody that's got the frown on all the time? Uh-uh. You could be an expert in something, but if you're really a fuddy-duddy, you know something? You'll be a behind-the-scenes expert, you know, and that's it. And if that's what brings you joy and excitement, okay. You know, that's good. We need people, you know, that are really good and behind the scenes, you know, different things. But I venture to say that most of you that are listening to this, most of you that have started your own business, you're not a behind. You're out there and you're looking to push yourself. You're looking to push yourself to achieve new goals. You're the possible yesterday. But understand that today you can achieve those goals. Today you can move forward. Today you should move forward. Live outside the comfort zone. Push yourself to something new, something different, something you didn't think was possible. You know, I got a number of different things that I have done, but it really doesn't make a difference what I have done. It matters what you have done. If you're just waiting for somebody else to open up that opportunity door for you, don't wait. You know, knock on that door. And somebody said it someplace on one of his Facebook posts, if there's not a door there, make one. I actually love that one. Make a darn door. Man, bust open through it and, you know, and go for it. Bring along the people that you feel will be a positive impact to you. Find out what you need to do in order to achieve that goal, in order to create that business, in order to build that environment that you want. Forget those people. And darn, have a damn good time doing it. Find the humor in things. No matter how challenging something is, there is humor in it. Even if you're cold calling, you know what? You get somebody on the phone, even if it's a wrong number, just have a good time with it. For lunch, go walk, do something. But find that enjoyment. Find that enjoyment in your day. Fun. Three letters, one syllable, and one great strategy of success for you. I look forward to chatting with you every week on Strategies of Success. I look forward to everything that you're doing. Tell me about those success stories that you have. Let's share them. Come on the show. Love to have you. And let's make this week the best week ever, because it should be. And enjoy yourself as you're doing it. My name is Brian Cohen. This is Strategies of Success, a division of the Long Island Speakers Bureau. Call us, tell me your story and come on the air with me.